I recently embarked on an adventure exploring one of Northern California's, and indeed one of North America's, greatest natural resources. Sonoma County's majestic Laguna de Santa Rosa was once written off as a polluted wasteland. Now, it's being recognized as a rich habitat for endangered species and an ecological treasure. Our journey begins at the Santa Rosa offices of our guide, Dan Sherman, the executive director of the Laguna de Santa Rosa Foundation. This conservancy organization has programs in the areas of research, restoration, and education. It partners with local, state, and federal government agencies and universities to manage the laguna and mitigate habitat and species loss here. Before setting out to see the Laguna de Santa Rosa, we took some time to study a map of the area and learn about the history of the region. This is Your Wetlands. We're looking at a map. The map has yellow on either side, kind of yellow color looking like mountains. But in the center, it's primarily green. It goes up the 101 corridor, a major thoroughfare through Northern California. And beneath that red line of Highway 101 is green. What are we looking at there? Because most of these are the major cities in Sonoma County. What's the green represent?
It represents what's known as the Santa Rosa Plain. On this particular map, it's a topographical layer that shows that it's a lower elevation, and so therefore it's green as opposed to the brown hills. But what it is the Santa Rosa Plain, and it's an area that's about 30,000 acres in size. It drains a 250-square-mile watershed. And in the midst of that plain is a freshwater seasonal wetland complex that's known as the Laguna de Santa Rosa. It has many creeks, one of the great complexes of vernal pools in the state, and it has a long 14-mile channel, largely artificial and created by humans in the last century, that drains this whole watershed and is the largest tributary to the Russian River.
It's also very significant from a number of environmental components. Wildlife species that visit this, the size of this is significant in terms of North America.
Yeah, the laguna as a seasonal wetland complex is the seventh largest such ecosystem on the North American continent. So it has truly international significance. It's a major stop on the Pacific Coast Flyway. More than 200 species of birds, both migratory and year-round residents, have been documented. We've now found a pair of nesting bald eagles, spied them in the last few years after about a 25-year absence. There's vernal pool plant species that exist nowhere else on the planet, four of which are listed as endangered plants under the Endangered Species Act, and also one listed endangered species, California tiger salamander, Sonoma County population. So the biodiversity is really remarkable for such a concentrated area, and the fact that it's in the midst of this urbanized corridor creates a lot of challenges for managing it and trying to balance those competing needs.
As Dan describes the laguna, I have to confess I had some difficulty visualizing just what this complex is, so I asked Dan if he could help me to picture it and fill us in on its natural history and ecological role.
Most people would recognize it as a very slow-moving large creek, and in places that's what it resembles. But because of the nature of the soils, it's very heavy clay soil, that's what creates the vernal pool, so there's not a lot of drainage, a lot of percolation. A lot of water is held on the plain and slowly drains into the Russian. So that's part of its beauty is as a flood control feature, it's immensely important to everybody that lives in Sonoma County, especially the people who live downstream in the Russian. It holds so much water, it holds almost half the volume of Lake Sonoma when it's at full flood stage. So that, as far as the flood control, is profound. And what's plaguing the lagoon is some of the problems with sedimentation and other things that are impairing its ability to perform that flood control function. It's a very complex thing. So when we talk about it, well, we're talking about this creek-like body of water, but it's so much more than that. It's this collection of vernal pools, seasonal wetlands, swales, and hummocks. There's a natural kind of bumpy topography to the plain that made it very complex and added to that feature of being able to hold and collect water, thereby creating this incredible abundance of wildlife, which in turn created an abundance of human beings. And some historians estimate that the native population in and around the laguna was one of the most dense populations of humans on the continent before the arrival of Europeans. We know that trade goods and things have been found from as far away as the Midwest, dating back to before a European settlement. So tribes would come from other parts of the state and the country and have ceremonies here and gatherings here. This is what we've heard from some of the Native Americans and Native American historians.
Well, words were simply not enough to prepare me for what I was about to experience. The time had come to see the laguna and share it with you.
Now, we drove from your office, and when we arrived here, my first word was, wow, this is incredible. Describe what we're seeing right here.
Well, what we're seeing right here is actually a public preserve. It's owned by the Department of Fish and Game. It's called the Laguna Wildlife Area. The area is a wide, flat wetland, And historically, before we altered the landscape, it was one of these large lagoons, these large lake-like water bodies. And from year to year, it would probably change exactly how big it was or exactly where it was, but it was in this general middle part of the laguna. And then in the late 60s, we drained that and we dug a channel. Well, over time, that channel has filled in with sediment. And so now that channel doesn't hold all the floodwater, and it spills back out onto these adjacent fields, which originally were underwater and part of the lagoon. And historically, this farmer here, which looks like kind of a small lake at the end of his property, would pump that water back into the laguna channel, which now doesn't hold it, and this water is on here year-round.
This is just magnificently beautiful. The rolling grasslands, we see oak trees, redwood trees out there, a mountain in the background. What is the message that you most want to communicate about this?
Well, I think that people need to be aware that there is this incredible natural resource treasure on a lot of different scales right here in our midst. People who live in Sonoma County, many of whom are aware of it and appreciate it, but many, many more that aren't aware of it. And we rely on it for a lot of things, basic things like flood control and water quality enhancement. But just the sheer beauty of having this in the midst of an urban area, it gives you tremendous spiritual respite. The value of open space can't be overstated, I think, from a community health standpoint.
Now, we came to get access to this specific vista point. We came down a private road of someone you happen to know. But your goal is not only to preserve, to protect, to restore, to enhance, but also to give the public access to some of these areas.
Right, that's correct. And we're lucky in Sonoma County to have a Sonoma County Agricultural Preservation and Open Space District funded with a voter-approved quarter-cent sales tax that we have here. And they were able to acquire some conservation easements over properties right in this corridor, this middle part of the laguna, with the rights to build trails on them. So those trails are coming, which will provide the public with linkages from existing east-west trails to some north-south routes that will get them along the laguna, and they can see some of these varied habitats. They're also going to be coming right through our big restoration project area, so they'll get to watch that as it matures.
There's something special about where we are in its reality. It isn't pristine totally. It's lived in to a degree.
Yeah.
And in some ways, that's part of its uniqueness and its magnificence. You really do have a jewel here.
Oh, absolutely. As beautiful as it is and as abundant as it is in wildlife, it could be so much more, and it was so much more. It's the most impaired water body on the North Coast. It's listed for 6 different pollutants under the Clean Water Act. It's not in good shape. So while we see these beautiful areas and we say, oh, this is beautiful, and there's, you know, birds and hawks and eagles in the air and egrets, and it looks like this healthy area, but it's not as healthy as it could be or should be. So we know that we can never turn the clock back. We're not going to move 300,000 people out here. We can't erase all the impacts that we've had over the last decades. So let's figure out, what do we really value about this system? What are the resources that we rely on it for? And then let's figure out how we can enhance those and make them function so that we can derive that benefit. Some of that benefit is just our enjoyment for access and recreation and kayaking. And for some people, it's duck hunting, fishing. For some people, it's bike riding. And then there's a lot of people who just like to come and look at the wildflowers and count the birds. So there's a lot to be said about this place.
On our way here, we drove by something that is really a dream for you. We saw this white, gorgeous little house and neat barn. What's that going to be?
Well, we want to build an experiential gateway for the public and visitors to come and learn about the laguna. So we're creating what we're calling the Laguna Learning Center. We're restoring an old 1860s farmstead, and the house is going to become our headquarters. We're going to build a small interpretive center on the site and restore the old historic hop barn. All of this is in partnership with the City of Santa Rosa. It's their property, but they're allowing us to have the building compound. We hope to have a research field station out there, a native plant nursery to supply plants for our restoration work. Great opportunity for local school children and researchers to get involved in what we're doing and helping solve some of the problems with the laguna. So we think it's a key part of our strategy of getting the public actively engaged in this effort.
Dan wanted to show us more, so we headed to the Kelly Farmstead. Here it was easy to see the laguna's rich abundance of wildlife and interesting to learn how it intermingles with a growing urban population.
You give great tours, and we just left our last location, and we drove down another road. I see a wetland pond right here, but again, perspective is really important for us to understand about the laguna, but also about some of the processes, the importance of wetlands, flooding in these areas. So give us, there's a little rabbit going by as we speak here. What's the message here at this location?
We're on the Kelly Wetlands, Kelly Farm owned by the city of Santa Rosa. Behind us is essentially a storage pond for treated wastewater, but it has kind of become almost like a habitat garden than an industrial use because the habitat is used here by a lot of wildlife. And then right adjacent is a working vineyard. This is another issue about the laguna. There's a lot of working ag landscapes in the middle of the laguna, and there's no reason why those can't continue to thrive and be part of a laguna renaissance in terms of its ecological health. We want to see that happen. And then below the vineyard is this vast plain, what would be inundated and become a seasonal wetland and have a real complexity to it in terms of plant life and wildlife. And then on the edge, we see a very thin strip of riparian vegetation along the bank of the Laguna Channel. And that's where we're working right now. We just finished the first year of a multi-year project, and we have 5,000 trees in the ground in a two-mile stretch of the laguna to beef up that riparian forest. And we have a whole mixture of species. And then across the plain, and as it starts to come up and create the uplands, we've replanted a dense oak woodland, which would have historically existed. So if we were to walk down there, you'd see thousands of oaks that are planted throughout there. In between is a great opportunity for some seasonal wetland restoration. And it's also a great opportunity to kind of illustrate the partnerships at play here. We've got the city of Santa Rosa that's active in doing some of this restoration work and preservation work on their own lands that they own primarily for industrial purposes. We have the Open Space District that has purchased this property right across here. This vineyard is protected by a conservation easement that they sold to the Open Space District. It allows continued ag use. And then the southern portion of the land was purchased outright by the Open Space District. And so that's where trails are going to be coming through. So the trails will come from the Sebastopol Wetland Preserve, which is where we're looking down at the southern part of this plain, or just north of where the cars are going across at Highway 12. And then come up, it'll spur off of that, and you'll be able to walk all the way up to this spot and on all the way up to Occidental Road. And then eventually a seasonal trail that'll be open during dry seasons will run right along the laguna all the way up to the Occidental Road Bridge where our Laguna Learning Center is going to be. So this is a great spot because you're looking at partners, you're looking at mixed land uses, you're looking at restoration and a public access project in progress. So it's a great spot.
This has been fun, and I appreciate you showing us this. And this truly is spectacularly gorgeous. What's your one quick memory, something you've experienced out here that stayed with you?
Well, there's been some great wildlife sightings on kayak trips, and one of them was just a few weeks ago. I was out here with some people that were interested in our work and took them on a kayak trip, and we saw the bald eagle, and I'd seen the bald eagle once before, and osprey were circling above us, and we were trying to figure out what was happening, and the osprey drops right in front of us, maybe 20 yards from our kayaks, and takes a carp, big splash right there. You don't expect to see that kind of wildlife action, so to speak, out here in this, what's really in the middle of a pretty well-populated area.
It's interesting you mentioned that particular story because there's two parts to it. One is the seeing it, and the other is the sharing it. And I hope your wetlands listeners will share with you this experience. Go to the website, and thanks very much. This has been wonderful.
Thank you.
This was an incredible experience, and again, my thanks to Dan Sherman. If you'd like to learn more about Laguna de Santa Rosa, here is their website. It is lagunadesantarosa.org. Your Wetlands is a project of the San Francisco Bay Joint Venture, and our podcast is supported through grants from Pacific Gas and Electric Company and the California Coastal Conservancy. If you'd like to learn more about the joint venture, their website is sfbayjv.org. And also, don't forget, we invite you to email us with your questions and comments. Our address is yourwetlands@gmail.com. And we podcast all of our stories. You can just search it via iTunes. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Jerry Kay.